Hare Krishna, full Shravanam and Kirtanam, we go to Smaranam. And Vishnu Purana says, Smartavyam Satatam Vishnu, Vishmartavyam Jutakchit, Sarva Vidhi, Nishidashu, Etayur Eva Kintaram. Sarva Vidhi, all the Vidhi, all the rules and regulations of Vedic literature, are kinkara, are the servants of this one principle. What is that one principle? Smartavyam satatam Vishnu. Always remember Vishnu. Always remember Krishna. There are so many rules in Vedic literature. There are so many in Vaishnava litany. There are so many rules in Gaudiya Vaishnavism, Krishna conscious movement. We have just 64 rules in regards to deity worship. We got rules for how to wake up, how to go to the bathroom, how to take a shower, how to put on tilak. This is called vidhi. You must do this. And sometimes we think, well, why have we got so many rules? And these rules are meant to readjust us to our natural way of life, because we've really diverged, deviated from who we are, which is Krishna's servants and spirit souls, and we've cultivated so many bad habits that we need to be weaned off those bad habits, and therefore there are vidhi, therefore there are rules. Otherwise, if we were fully Krishna conscious, then there would not be necessary for all of these rules, because everything that we did would be yatkaroshi, yadishnashi, everything would be in Krishna service, everything would be right. Why? Because that's how spontaneous service is. Things come naturally. For instance, eating. Eating comes naturally. You don't have to be told to eat. You get an appetite when you're hungry, and you automatically eat. On the other hand, there are those people who are anorexic, and they don't eat. They don't have an appetite to eat. But that's not a natural situation. So when anorexic people are obliged to eat, that's not something unnatural. That's not some artificial imposition. That's just learning how to be how you're really meant to be, live a natural way of life instead of this unnatural way of not eating, which ultimately results in disease and death. So the same thing for us. We're anorexic in so many ways. And so there are rules how to bring us back to our natural state of being, our natural way of life. These rules are meant to make us Krishna conscious. That's what it means. Smartavyam satatam Vishnu, to be conscious of Krishna. So being conscious of Krishna remembering Krishna has two aspects. One is this practiced one, the obligatory one, where one is making effort to remember Krishna. Meditation is about that. You try to focus your mind. We do that. We try to remember Krishna's name when we're chanting Hare Krishna. We try to focus our minds in Bhagavatam class and remember Krishna rather than letting our minds go off somewhere else, because ultimately the problem with this remembrance is coming from the mind. It's that the mind is engaged in thinking about something that it's not naturally inclined to think about. It's naturally inclined to think about so many superfluous, so many mundane, materialistic things. But we're really meant to be thinking about Krishna. So, smartavyam satatam vishnur. So we have to make an effort to think about Krishna. But as the heart becomes purified, as the heart becomes clean, then that becomes the other alternative. It becomes spontaneous in the way that eating is spontaneous, sleeping is spontaneous. So many natural bodily activities happen spontaneously without any particular effort. But to get to the spontaneous platform, we have to actually be healthy, and we're not healthy. And that's why we practice devotional service. That's why even Srila Prabhupada says being Krishna conscious by force. So vidhi means, yes, we oblige ourselves to follow these rules and apply ourselves well to the practices of Krishna consciousness, because by them our hearts become cleansed. And remembrance, the ability to remember Krishna either by practice or to spontaneously remember Krishna, depends upon the purity of the heart. So if we don't purify our hearts properly, then we can try to remember Krishna as much as we want, and temporarily we may achieve some measure of success in the way that gyanis and yogis do. But ultimately, aruya krichena paramparam tata, it's an artificial effort. It's artificial because the mind hasn't really been freed of its proclivity to think about mundane things. It's like wild horse. You can tie a wild horse down to a stake and say, well, he's under control and he can't do any harm. Well, that's true, but he's not tamed. Now, as soon as he's off that peg, he's off and running and doing whatever he's not supposed to be doing. But if you actually tame the horse, then you don't need to peg him down. Then he will naturally stay in proper conduct. He won't go running off. He'll do what he's meant to do. You call him, come here, he comes. Mount him, you don't need to tie him down. It happens easily. So, similarly, until the mind actually becomes one's friend, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, then it's not to be trusted. It will continue to cause problems and difficulty. And the mind can only come under control when the heart is pure. Because when the heart is impure, then neither the spiritual strength is there, and neither the purification of material desires. Material desires are still there, which causes desires to surface within the mind, and the mind then to think about those things, will those things to happen, the senses act upon those, and there we are again, causing more things to agitate our minds. And that's why Shravanam Kirtanam, the first two topics we're chanting and hearing. Because aside from activity, and activity may follow Shravanam Kirtanam, what we hear and chant really determines on what's within our minds, what's within our desires. We want to flush out material desires from the heart through the process of hearing and chanting, applying ourselves to transcendental subject matter. If one doesn't do that, then one really can't expect to get any wonderful result. But if we do that, then those redento stoyavadrani, those inauspicious things in the heart are flushed out by the power of Krishna Katha, by the power of Krishna's shiksha, Krishna's instruction. So remembrance, you want to know how Krishna conscious you are, how much you're advanced in Krishna consciousness, just see how much you can think about Krishna by practice, and beyond that, how much you can think about Krishna naturally, spontaneously. How much do you think about Krishna? How well do you focus your mind on Krishna in the easiest and most effective time when you chant Hare Krishna? When you're sitting in the morning and chanting for 2 hours japa, how well do you think about the holy name, hear the holy name? Similarly, during the day, does our mind naturally drift towards Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's instructions, philosophical topics, or does it drift off into mundane thoughts And when it does drift off to mundane thoughts, how willing and how able are we to pull it back, or do we just continue meditating? Continue meditating on mundane things, which then causes more and more difficulty. So everyone can judge for themselves. And it may be difficult, but it's not the process that's difficult. The fact is that our circumstances are difficult. We're so conditioned. We've gotten ourselves into such a mess. And being an adult means that we take responsibility for that. We wanted this, now we got it. Now we want to get out. That's why we're here in Krishna consciousness. And getting out may be difficult, but unless we apply ourselves to the process fully now, it'll be more difficult with every mundane thought, deed, word, and so on that we engage in or utter. So smaranam, smartavyam satatam vishnu. Let's really purify our hearts and become true meditators. It's not an easy thing, but yoga indriya samyamya. There's no question of someone being a yogi unless they can control their minds. Hare Krishna.